Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pinecast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
you. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
According to my phone, it says PT Pinecast is in fact live. Look at that. Look at that. It must be true. It's on my cell phone. How are you guys doing? I'm Jimmy McKay. Nice to meet you. I'll be your host today. This is PT Pinecast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories here in the world of physical therapy. Welcome to the show, broadcasting live from the Aureus Medical Studios. Look at these gorgeous studios, also known as my bedroom. That's what the other use I have for this. AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com. Hashtag Travel PT. They're the leaders. If you're looking to do what you want to do, just be a great therapist where you want to do it, somewhere in the 50 US. Aureus is who you want to contact. So find them now. Go there, AUREUSmedical.com. Great show for you tonight. We're talking to Marcia Darbus, connected on Twitter, which is where a lot of these interactions in my life happen, for better or for worse. This one's going to be better. But I love when you trip across someone who's got something great to say, and then you do a little poking in their backstory, and they got a really cool backstory that I think the audience can learn from. So you're going to do some learning tonight with Marcia. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and now, of course, video casting on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at PT Pinecast on the socials. And make sure you comment questions during the show. If you say you want an interactive podcast, which you've said before, I now challenge you. Comments or questions, or drop the word replay if you're watching the replay. Let us know you're interacting. Let us know where you're watching. I'm always curious where this podcast actually gets to on the interwebs. Now, let's bring in our guests today. Our next guest, powerlifting strong woman, Black Spoonie, living, playing, lifting, and practicing physical therapy in South Florida. Welcome, Marcia Darbus, to the show.
Oh, hey.
We bring
Thanks
our
for
own.
Having me.
Marcia, welcome to the show. Yo. How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. I'm pretty high on spoons. We're doing good. It's going to be great.
High on spoons. And I had no idea what that would have meant before I did a little work in your background, poking around, because I saw that intro come across, and I'm thinking to myself, what is Spoonie? And I was like, I'll ask her when I get on the show. But then something in my PT brain said, poke around a little bit before so you get some context. So for the audience, I want you to walk us through this. You say you're high on spoons. You described yourself as a spoonie. What's that mean?
Well, it's basically a metaphor to explain how people with chronic illness feel. So, or disability of any type, visible or not visible. So it started by a woman named Christine, and she kind of used it as an analogy to explain how she feels. So let's say you, as the normal able-bodied person, wakes up every day, the world hands you 100 spoons, no matter what. And then it costs 5 spoons to cook breakfast, 10 spoons go to work, 2 spoons this, whatever, whatever. For me, maybe I will, maybe I won't get 100 spoons every day. They don't roll over, they don't collect. Some days I might feel like I'm in the negative. And so I might wake up one day and have to decide, am I washing my hair today or am I staying in bed? So high on spoons mean we're good to go. We're ready.
It's a way for, and I loved how reading just the backstory behind, I just Googled what's a spoonie. I want to see what she's talking about before we
yeah. get
the bike here. It was really used. And now that we're discussing here in this podcast, hopefully other therapists, if they hear their patients describing it, they understand the language of the person they're working with. But really, it was a way for people living with chronic pain to discuss amongst each other. It was a language you got that they were using to communicate and say, hey, today I'm high on spoons, or, that's going to be too many spoons worth to do. I'm going to push it off to tomorrow. Otherwise, because what happens, or what was described in what I was reading, would be if you go into the negative, that's going to carry over for you to the next day in terms of you're going to now suffer the effects of going into the negative spoons. Am I walking through that right?
Definitely. And there's also a couple of, not everyone likes that term. Some people like to call themselves unchargeables. There's also like a battery theory,
right,
in terms of like you have a faulty battery. And I don't know as much about that one, but there are different words and terms and analogy. But at bare minimum, it's just to get the point across that every day we might not have it.
Yeah, it's a it's a good way to explain it. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's I like it because it's visual. You know, I like to picture things visually. And yeah, but you know, going into like getting out of bed, that's gonna be one spoon, right? But also like you know, getting ready for work and you're late, right? Now you're amped up. That's gonna cost you more today because you're late than it did yesterday when you weren't late.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, if you only get 100 a day, you might have to skip some things. Hey, I can't do that today because I'm low on spoons. But today, Dr. Marcia is high on spoons, and we like that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even have to take a nap today. I mean, it's unprecedented.
There we go. Well, walk us through your superhero backstory. I want to find out how did you come to the professional physical therapy? What brings you here to, you know, into it? And we'll find out about you before we get into some other cool stuff we can learn.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've always been into medicine in general. But as a child of Haitian immigrants, all you know about medicine is doctor, nurse. And I was like, nursing, maybe not. Maybe doctor, I'll think about it. So I always had pre-med programs in school, like elementary, middle, high school. I was always doing those like Saturday science field trips, like dissecting pigs in seventh grade, like all of that stuff. And then I got to high school and they let us take field trips and explore different parts of the hospital. And I got to the physical therapy room and I was like, all right, I could vibe with this. This makes more sense. And that kind of felt like the MD was is a little more boring to me. People came in and out and you're just there. All right. Person. Great. Hi. What? All right. I'm writing this down. Next. Okay. Person. Hi. What? All right. I'm writing this down. Next. And I was like, it's not for me.
You gravitated. I mean, you used the word in there. That's really the tell to me, which is person and connection is what I'm getting out of that is you said, hey, listen, science is cool, but that's super broad, right?
Yeah.
Saying, like, how can I connect in science or how can I connect with this field and people? And you decided that a longer, because you also talked about time, which is, hey, how you doing? Write this, leave.
Yeah.
You want a longer connection. So physical therapy, where'd you grow up?
I'm from South Florida through and through. So pretty much Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. And that's pretty much start to finish where I've been.
I like it. All right. So so you decide that that's what you're going to do and you go through that. And, you know, when did you become a PT?
So I shot straight through. I went to high school, college, just straight through. So I actually ended up going to Nova Southeastern, which is in Fort Lauderdale, driving distance. There was a couple different schools I wanted to go to, and the timing is weird, which no one explains to you. You know, you could apply for five schools and they all start in five different stopping points, and you have to decide, okay, I got this acceptance. Do I wait? Do I miss? Do I do this? So played it safe, stayed home.
Yeah. I like that. Good experience in PT school.
Yeah. Overall. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of tears for me. In PT. but we all got out. We all survived. That's one thing we all have in common.
Exactly.
You do some other stuff. You look real comfortable holding a microphone with a set of headphones. Why is that?
Why do I have these headphones? I'm one of three women on Disabled Girls Who Lift podcast.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Like, why'd you start it? Because I'm always curious, really, the why did you decide to start a show? And then who are you aiming at? What are you talking about? What's the give there? Because that's what podcasting is. It's all about being a give.
Right. Yeah. It's always like telling a story you feel like hasn't been told yet. So that's kind of where we were at. So for me, I wasn't, you know, I didn't wake up. I wasn't born. I didn't deal with disability and illness this whole time. It was new to me. So I went through PT school, quote unquote, normal, able-bodied. And I learned about, rehab. And, neuro. Oh man, that's them. That's not me. I'm cool. And then I hit about 2015. So that's almost 5 years ago now, that things started to go a little wild and I started to grapple with myself and I started to have a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. Am I going to die? Am I going to be wheelchair bound? Is that going to suck? Where am I going to end up? And, you know, you're treating patients and seeing the end, you know, the far bottom, the rock bottom, and it's a little scary. So then I started having trouble with my lifts as a competitive athlete that messes with your identity also. Sure. And then I found Mary Beth, who's the one who really founded Disabled Girls Who Lift. and she has she was born missing a hand. And so I would just message her about these random feelings I had. Like, is disability bad? Like, how should I feel about this? And we kind of just ranted and just went on and on and on. And after a while, we're like, you know what? More people are having these conversations. Let's go somewhere with this. And that's kind of where it started. So we also have Chloe, who's like strong AF, actually.
She's like top 10 worldwide all time in 148 pound weight class. Like, she looks, I mean, that is, I would not question that with that is aggressive.
Yeah.
So you guys all have that thing in common in terms of lifting, disabled growth and lift. So what are the kind of conversations? What can people expect to listen to? Because I love the fact that there are so many podcasts now. Yours is a prime example of a physical therapist who's listening right now, who could literally prescribe listening to your podcast as a patient to do after or outside of the clinic as something they could get complete value out of. You could start to prescribe physical therapy podcasts, or this isn't even a physical therapy podcast in terms of it, but it's a conversation that you might think a patient could benefit from. So what are the kind of conversations that you guys get into? You guys got more than 30 episodes already, so kudos on that.
Yeah, we're moving along. And it's a lot of the conversations are things that her and I talked about in the beginning. You know, how do we treat people that are disabled? What does it mean to be disabled? Is there a look? Is there something you should be able to see? And we get to have a lot of conversations with some awesome people. And some people have spinal cord injuries, some rare things I've never heard of, like Holt-Oram syndrome, just everything, blindness, everything. And they just tell us about their lived experience and how they make movement work. Some of them are new to movement. Some of them were already lifting before something happened and they kept lifting. All angles.
You mentioned something a second ago, which is when you were going through an experience, you're like, this messes with your identity. I'm a runner. I had a leg injury 2-3 years ago. I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I didn't lose the ability to walk. Everything was pretty much fine, except that one thing was out of my life. Was that a big deal? Yeah, that was a big deal to me. And I didn't know where I was going to fit or how was I going to identify? Like, what do you do? Well, I don't run anymore. That was all I could think of, is like to tell people what I didn't do anymore. So really, I'd say the overarching message for your show is, hey, first of all, disabled, it's not a bad word.
Yeah, not at all. So when I first started having issues, it really messed with the identity and my performance, and I just denied it. So I kept pushing and pushing my body and myself. So like 1 year I went to Raw Nationals and just total, absolute trash performance. And that was kind of my wake-up call. Like, what are you doing? Like, something is wrong with you. Like, you need to sit down and sit with this, figure it out, get through it. And that's where I finally started addressing the issue, because I couldn't hide from it anymore.
Had you already connected to these ladies from Disabled Girls Who Lift?
At that time, no.
How did you come across them? I love those stories of like meeting people and just like loving and wanting loving each other's vibe and wanting to talk more. I love this song, by the way. Yeah. I love that a lot.
Thanks.
So how did you meet these ladies and get involved?
Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram. And at a time where I thought I was over social media. It gets a lot of superficial, gets a lot of, you know, just like happy go lucky, whatever messages, and
highlight reel.
Tired of it, but there's real people on here.
Yeah. And there are, but a lot of times, you know, I described in the Oxford debate a couple of years ago, it's a highlight reel. And like, I have a lot of wins in my life, but I have probably just as many losses or maybe more. And if I only see your highlight reel or everybody's highlight reel, I all of a sudden start to feel this big. And what am I doing wrong with my life? But if I really took stock, I could say, wow, look at what I do have. Right. But I agree with you on social media. You do a couple laps and you can get burned out on that and just get desensitized to that completely.
Yeah. So I was almost out, and then somehow I came across, I don't know what hashtag I was going through or whatever, and I just saw at the time Mary Beth lifted for a federation that doesn't allow adaptation. So she was doing one-arm deadlifts. And I looked at this video and I was like, okay, I need to know who this person is. And that's pretty much where it started.
Wow. I think that's a great picture. I mean, like one-arm deadlifts, that is crazy. And she puts this great picture up on that website with her description. And again, that website is disabledgirlswholift.com. So when we go with that first topic to talk about now, disabled is not a bad word. when you bring this into clinical practice, how do you approach this? How do you broach the subject and begin to let people know, like, hey, there's something that there's a limitation you got to get over, but it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's basically it. This is a progress. This is a process. I'm sorry. This is a journey. And then the destination is moving better and feeling better. And maybe things will be the same. Maybe they won't. But, you know, you're still you. You're still 100% the same person. It doesn't matter what happened.
I like how you instantly flip and make it a narrative. Journey, destination. Maybe it might go this way. It might go that way. But that's a better way of the saying of well, medically speaking, joint isn't, I was like, that doesn't tell me anything. That makes me feel like you're backing away from me rather than bringing me in, excluding rather than including. So I like that journey. Have you had any of those moments? I had one of those moments where I was a PT student and I had a patient in a clinical rotation Google me. And she came in the next time that she was scheduled and she was like, I've listened to 7 of your podcast episodes. And I was like, this is weird. Have you had that where it closed the loop and you're like, you know me as the host and now you know me as the clinician? Like, have you had that?
So I do adults cash and then kids insurance. So the adults, for the most part, that's how they know me. They know me through the lifting community or they found me on Instagram. So they're coming in like, oh yeah, I know what you're about. Yeah. Like, we're coming in, we're going to dish, we're going to talk about this. Like, I'm ready to go. They're comfortable. But if one of my parents came in and found out, that'd be kind of weird. Cause they don't see me as anything but my kid's physical therapist.
Right. I had that as a peds PT. I had one of the dads who I was like, that's kind of like, for me, it was cool. Cause it was like a parent who actually was like, I'm a researcher. Who's this guy who's going to treat my kid? And he came in and he actually brought me craft beer. Cause he was like, well, you do a podcast where you drink beer. Oh, hey man. My kid's peds PT to be happy, make sure he's up, we're on good terms. And I was like, bring in the beer all you want. But of course I didn't accept it because that would be accepting a gift. So at no point did I accept that. I had to leave that. I had to give that to somebody else. Did not take that. So really what you just did was, I didn't know this about you. You built part of your practice socially, right? I mean, you're saying like lifting community, interacting through social media, building relationships. So those people are seeking you out or meeting you on content you're already creating and bringing that in. That's got to feel like that's a really empowering type of practice.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing about it is that I'm not, before I used to be inside of my gym running a small clinic, but at this point, COVID, no, thank you.
Right.
but in general, I'm not pushing numbers and like volume, you know, I'm just living, and this is the job that I'm doing, and who comes to me are the people that I want to treat and I want to help, and they want to be helped and they want to be treated by me. So it just flows a little easier. The problem of working in some other facilities where they are numbers driven, some of these patients are like cute little old ladies and they just want to hang out, man. They just want to sit on the couch and live their life. And you have a rehab manager saying, well, did you walk into the room? You could build patient education. Did you help her go to the bathroom? Help her go to the bath? Like, yeah. No, I can't live that life anymore.
I won't play that game either. Mm-mm. So how did you build this? Like, what was the jump? Like, did you start this right out of school or how did this progress to that type of life?
Not at all. It's very much related to my chronic illness, because at the time when things first started happening, I was working 3 different jobs, one full-time, 2 per diems, every once in a while seeing somebody cash on the side. And then I started having symptoms and issues and not enough spoons. And I was dragging along, just dragging and dragging and dragging. And then also along the way, my mother got leukemia. She didn't make it. Once she died, I was like, okay, if this lady could have everything in the world and it's gone in 2 months, like, why am I wasting my time? Like, why am I wasting my time right now? Like, I'm dragging myself through the mud. Like, it was not a great time, mentally, physically, medically, just trash all around. So that was kind of the bigger turning point for me. I was like, I need to clean this up and do for myself and then expect that the money will come and it'll follow.
Gosh, that is such a cool mindset of taking several things. And again, I'm sorry to find out about your mom. I'm sorry you had to go through that. But you use that as a thing to spring forward, you know, your chronic illness situation with losing your mother. I can't imagine what that would be like. And you said, I'm going to use this to put in perspective. I'm not going to wallow in this. I'm going to put this in perspective and I'm going to redesign what I want to be my future. Really easy to say, right? Look how easy I just said that. Probably, you know, not that easy to do, but you were bold enough to do it no matter how hard you knew it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I'm at now. And it took me some time. And it took me, I don't know, maybe a year to be totally self-employed. And there's a little bit of luck and there's a little bit of networking, obviously, especially as a Black woman. It's hard to get capital. It's hard to get business accounts. So it definitely helped that I knew people that understand who I was as a clinician and really believed in my skills.
You say luck. All I hear is, again, you knew people who believed in you. All I hear is relationship building. How did you find your patients? Oh, this network, this community I was in, relationship building. Why do people trust you with their time, their care, and their money?
Yeah.
You've built a good relationship. So, I mean, you can say luck. I'm not a huge fan of luck because I'm like, I don't know. Luck seems to favor people who hustle a lot and really care about what they're doing. So it just so happens those people are super lucky a lot. You know, some things can happen that appear lucky, but man, something along the line you were obviously doing that was showing up and it might have felt like luck, but I think we all know has something to do with hustle, skill, and talent.
All right, maybe.
All right. But I'll say that it wasn't luck. You can be humble and say it was a little bit of luck, but
yeah.
That's a great story. Advice. We just had students from University of Lynchburg on last week. And one of them, I brought them right onto the show and I said, what's your dream job? And she said, I want to go out and I want to treat gymnasts and I don't want to work in a clinic. I want to go from, you know, gymnastics group or school program to program, but that's probably 3-5 years away. And I probably need, so what would you say to someone who literally could write down what their dream job would be, but had that fear, probably that you've had something similar. What would you say to someone like that, a student like that?
The hardest part is making that dream. So you got the hardest part down, really. And you don't have to know anything. If you have the big picture down, the details, you'll figure it out. You don't have to know anything to start something. And I feel like that's where a lot of us, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to, okay, chill out. You have the idea. You have your passion. Start somewhere. Maybe find a youth group that nearby and just hang out with them.
Build a relationship. That's what Marcia would do.
Yeah, right? That's what I would do.
Yeah! Boom-shakalaka! You get a boom shakalaka for that from NBA Jam.
Lovely.
And that's kind of what I was telling her. I kept asking her. I was like, well, have you been around gymnasts your whole life? Yes. Are you passionate about this? Yes. Do you think a DPT education is going to give you enough skills to be able to help people? I'm not saying you'll never progress. I'm not saying when you start as a PT graduate, you can't learn more. But yeah. Is what you have valuable? And she was like, well, yes. And I literally said, then you need to give me a reason why you shouldn't do this. Because what I think a lot of times, and tell me if this was in your life and then you overcame it somehow. Sometimes we feel, myself included, we're waiting for the world or someone to give us permission. It's in your own head, but you're like, I can't wait for someone to pat me on the back and tell me that it's okay to make a crazy decision. And to be honest, the only thing holding you back is you. Did you experience that looking for permission?
Definitely. Definitely. Always. And you feel like, am I good enough? It's like, what's the word? Validation. Like you need somebody to validate that you are worthy of doing something. Duh.
I'm guilty of that to the 10th degree. I'm so guilty of that. I literally run around with an idea that I'm like, I really think this idea is going to work. And I tell 5 people. And if all 5 of them aren't like, yes, let's go. I'm like, wait, am I not good enough? Is the idea not good enough? But I know I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Cookie watching right live. And she said she's sharing this with Katie Hickey, Lucas, and Ann Hart from the AASPT Disabled Athlete SIG. Are you in the sports section? Did you know there was a SIG for disabled athletes? Did you know that?
Nope. As far as community and physical therapy, I'm very new to this. Very, very new. It's not something that was really talked about in my program. And then as where I work and where I live, nobody talks about that. People just work and they go home.
Well, then I love this little triangle here because Cookie was episode numero uno on this show. And Cookie is just this personality. She's just been around. She knows people and people like her. Because, I mean, with a name like Cookie, how are you not going to like someone? But yeah, there's a disabled athlete SIG, man. If she's, and we'll talk about this off the air, but that's a great little community relationship builder.
Okay, let's party.
It's a bunch of those people who are literally talking your language some of the time. I want to change subjects just a little bit.
Sure.
I don't know what this means. We need access, not inspiration. So what does this phrase mean to you?
So it just, so, you know, you get on the internet and people love sharing videos and memes, and you see, I don't know, maybe a cute lady in a wheelchair and she's like lifting a dumbbell, and then the tagline is like, oh, she can do it, so can you. Like, we're not here to serve as inspiration for the able-bodied to do better for themselves. Like, that's kind of gross. Like, us doing normal things should be normal. So, you know, it shouldn't be like, oh, you're so brave for being in a relationship with someone that has a disability. No, that just should be normal to us. Like, somebody telling me like, oh, you're so brave, you have nerve pain and you're still wearing shoes and lifting weights. Like, no. That shouldn't be your source of inspiration. We don't need pity. So that's kind of where that comes from. So inspiration porn is like a big cringe in the disability community.
And then what access? Where can we get better as a society? Where we just had an episode just the other day celebrating 30 years of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Yeah. And I love the tone of our episode then. I recommend taking a listen, because we had a guy on who was at the Capitol building when those famous pictures of the children getting out of their wheelchairs and climbing the Capitol. Right. He was there that. I mean, we had those pictures on the screen. He's like, I know her. He's like, this person. And I was like, wow. But the tone of that interview was really ADA 30 years ago. Yeah. Great. We need to keep going. Like, exactly. Do not rest. By all means, celebrate something that was a monumentous occasion 30 years ago. But now it's 2020. We got to keep going. So what is access? What does access look like to you in the future that would be better, that would be greater?
Well, there's little things. So on a personal, individual level, there's little things that we do every day that we can think about people that are not like us. Like, it's a hard sell sometimes. Like, you have to consider that my life, my lived experience is not everybody else's.
Right.
Like, that's where you need to start. So when I upload a picture to Instagram, somebody might be on their phone using a screen reader. They can't see my picture, but they're still enjoying social media. And if I don't put alt text that says Marcia is sitting on a bench laughing and, you know, the sun is shining, it's just going to say image might be a person.
Wow.
And now their experience is
less than.
Yeah. So there's simple little everyday things like that, adding alt text and video descriptions, or when you're uploading, try to get captions and subtitles, all of these kind of little things that you might not really think about.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. As you're saying this, these are the things I don't think about. One of the producers of this show makes it a point to share American Sign Language focused on healthcare providers. And she smartly does it, you know, one or two phrases at a time in short videos, because she understands there's people like us out here with short attention spans. Mm-hmm. But that's doing this more than it's doing this, or not even doing this, not even consciously excluding, but not thinking enough of how can I include more?
Exactly.
Because if you don't see it, as you mentioned, if there's a disability you don't see and you don't know what it's like to look at a website, you know, and have to rely on an alt text description of a picture, how are you going to be inclusive if you don't know? And that's why we have people like you. Sam chiming in, disabled athlete and geriatric therapist here. One of my colleagues at Fox Rehabilitation. And yeah, he agrees with you. He hates being someone's inspiration because he's living his life.
Exactly. I'm just existing. And I could be thriving if I had a little more access. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cookie going back pre-ADA. And remember teaching young patients in wheelchairs how to go up and down curbs and stairs. Right. I mean, we all hopefully did that one afternoon in PT school. And keep in mind, a lot of us is just one afternoon of taking a wheelchair around our local community in PT school. And realizing if there's no curb cut, those are really obvious ones if you're looking, if you're a PT, but if there's no curb cut, if you're trying to use mass transit and there's no elevator, the elevator's broken, it's okay. Only one stop away is that elevator functioning. But that's like 10 blocks. Like, one stop away is 10 blocks. So making sure that there's access and not just inspiration.
Definitely. And even as it relates to PT school, you know, not everybody's program is built the same. Sure. But I did like that my program, we brought in, you know, we're learning neuro. They just brought in people from the community like, hey, these are real people. This is what they look like. This is how they live. Talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, when we're doing peds, these are real kids. Here you go. Play with them.
Yeah. At Marymount University, I remember this one in neuro, our professor, Julie Reese, several times in the neuro semester, bringing in people who were, you know, had limb loss or people living with different conditions. And you want to talk about having the full and complete attention of 40 PT students. You could hear a pin drop. You could hear crickets from a mile away. When there's a human being sitting in front of you telling a story about how their life has changed, that's different than a video. That's different than reading in a textbook. That is different perspective. And that's when that's learning moment when you have someone like that. So your podcast talking about that, those are learning moments, validation for other people who are saying, you know what? Yeah, I don't have to, you know, do this or not do something because I want to. So that's access and inspiration.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, the word inspiration in and of itself isn't bad. You know, if there's somebody else that is living their life and they're undiagnosed and they see me and they're like, all right, well, she's okay. Cool. We're okay there. But when we get to you're using something that I'm doing that's really regular to fuel your own personal motivation, that's when it gets kind of weird.
Yeah.
You got to think about that intention.
Think of the person. This is a person. It's not something to put on a shelf or an inspirational poster.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Also wanted to talk about this because you've got personal experience. Chronic pain doesn't stop people from being a badass.
Yes!
There we go.
That's a nice sound effect. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And it's taken me a couple years, but strength wise, I'm getting close to where I was before. And it's like, you know, just an asterisk. Like, you know, I could have a deadlift PR asterisk if I have enough sleep and enough rest. I did enough stretching I used some KT tape for my muscles that were spazzing. I took my meds today. So there's just a little more that I have to do to get there, but I can still get there.
You're spending a little more spoons. I mean, I like that. The more you use an analogy like that, the more I'm like, this is a great way to speak because, I understand when people adopt that whole battery mindset, but I like the fact that it's in a different, you're using your own term. Like spoons doesn't make any sense until it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then it's easier to use, where if it's a battery analogy, I don't know. Like now we're just talking about energy, but you're talking about a limit on what you can do. And there's X amount of things. And spoon is just this random tangible object that you can picture to talk about that. But it doesn't have to stop.
Picture somebody just handing you. You're just waking up, open your eyes. Here you go. That's all you got today.
Yeah. Looking at a table and be like, I'm super low today. Or looking at a table and going, hey, I'm feeling great today. And this is what I'm able to do. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Sam chimed in as well, saying more healthcare providers that have disabilities. That's something that's needed. I mean, talking about being able to understand your patient population.
Definitely. And it's interesting because I was on that side and I was treated tons of adult neuro, spinal cord injury, you know, Guillain-Barré, all of this life-changing, life-altering kind of conditions and just on one side of it. But now on the other side of it, you know, I could see like there's certain ways that we interacted with people that could have been better. And there's certain things that we could have looked into that would have helped somebody out, you know, considering the time of day that we're treating them or considering what do they have to get done before they see me or figuring out what their goals are and understanding whether or not it's practical or there's something they need to do before that. These are all things that I know now.
Yeah. And that I don't know that I would have known to ask, you know, after just reading a little bit about the idea of a spoonie. Anybody who's working with someone with chronic pain in any capacity, one patient on your schedule or a bunch, maybe even if they don't use this terminology, bringing it in and being able to utilize that as a way to communicate about this thing, which is hard to verbalize unless you have this abstract term that you get to bring in and say, well, hey, where do you have the most spoons? What day of the week? What time of day? After what activities do you have to spend the most to complete? And then how are you doing today, right? What we're supposed to put in our notes, like patient was great at beginning of session. That doesn't say anything, right? Patient told me they were at 50% spoons or 50% of what they normally would be on a good day at the start of our session. That's a more objective way to do it. As abstract as spoons are, it's a more objective way to do it.
Definitely. And it wholly encompasses the fact that pain is just multifactorial. Like it's not just you sprained your ankle and the pain is in your ankle because of these receptors and this and that. Like it's deeper than that. If you are hopeless, you're going to feel worse. If you feel like you can't fix what you got going on or you can't make any progress, it's going to feel worse. If you're scared, if there's fear, if there's anxiety, all around worse.
All important to pay attention to as we go towards the ICF model of paying attention to the entire individual. All right. So you're a podcast host, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you some chance to pitch. You got to pitch like what's coming up or why should people tune in? You know, that's typically what we do is we always want to pitch. So like, I'll give you some background music.
Disable Girls Who Lift, available on iTunes.
Disable Girls Who Lift, available on your favorite podcast platform.
Why should people tune in? And again, for me, your podcast is perfect to prescribe for patients with chronic pain, people who lift. This is perfect. So what are some things coming up with the podcast that you've got going on you want people to listen to?
Well, our last couple episodes, we went through kind of the big issue of the era, right? Racism and all of that. So we kind of talked about that a little bit, and that was pretty great. It was just amongst ourselves. Otherwise, we interview people with all sorts of different disabilities. So we just did one with someone who has a spinal cord injury, and she's an adaptive powerlifter who also skis and also hikes. So that's pretty awesome. And it's every 2 weeks, but I will say bare minimum, if you were like, scrolling is hard, I don't know where to start, what should I do? Just head episode 12, How to Treat Your Disabled Friend. Able-bodied, not able-bodied, visible, invisible disability. Like that's kind of our touchstone episode right there.
I like that. Check it out. DisableGirlsWhoLift.com. And you're saying recently you guys got into talking about one of the issues that is pretty prevalent right now, discussing racism.
Exactly.
We crossed paths on Twitter and you said, you know what you need? You need more black and brown people on your show. And I said, great. Yeah, now you got to sign up and you got to show up. And you did. But I think that's a good example. And I started looking back at past episodes and I was reflecting our profession. It's a bunch of white people, mostly dudes, in fact, on our show and leaders of profession. We made it a conscious effort a couple of years ago. We're like, we need more females in here. And another wake up call. Now we're saying, hey, why aren't we seeking those things out? Because we're just going to continue to be a reflection. Exactly. So good for you on saying, hey, you need more black and brown people. And then thank you for showing up and teaching us about all the things that you taught today. What did you guys get into? What was some of the things that you talked about, some of the sentiments? Because you got a great mix of co-hosts as well.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I'm in South Florida. Mary Beth is in California and Chloe's in Iowa. So we are in totally different wavelengths. Myself and Mary Beth, well, I'm the child of immigrants. Mary Beth actually immigrated from the Philippines. Chloe's born and raised. So we're like all over the place in lived experiences. And the thing that we all came down to really realize is that, you know, our education has failed us. We don't really know what happened. We don't really know who we are, where we came from. Like, to me, I just learned like, oh, slavery end, and then everyone was free.
Hey, great.
Martin Luther King. Like, you just fast forwarded how many years? What happened in between?
Right.
So understanding how that plays into everything and how that plays into even me today trying to go to a doctor and understanding why doesn't a doctor take me seriously? Like, I'm literally a medical professional sitting in front of a doctor like, hey, listen, I have neuropathy. My left foot kind of drops and they're still not taking me seriously. Why is that? There's a history there. There's a reason.
Whether it is recognized or not, and we had an episode earlier, there's bias whether you recognize it or not.
Exactly. So it's the biggest thing is just understanding that how we live and whether or not it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a child of immigrants. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. We are living in a coordinated system. The world was created to benefit a certain people, just old white dudes that own slaves. Right. And we kind of jumped from there and just acting like that's not a truth is just destroying any future. So we just have to claim that and understand it. That's where we came from. That might not be who we are today. That's all right.
I like that. Well, good on you guys for tackling that because it's not the easiest thing to talk about and do it well because you want it to be productive. You want people to walk away and learn and say, well, now how can I be better?
Yeah.
Good on you for continuing that conversation. And I wanted to make sure we got a chance to mention that because I think it's important. Which episode was that? Was that a really recent one?
Yeah, that was the recent one. So that would have been, I think, 26 and 27. We did two separate ones on it, actually.
Perfect. All right, you ready to play three questions?
Sure.
No pressure. Here we go. Let's go. Three questions brought to you by our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. Again, if you're looking for a position, a lot of people graduating from PT school. A lot of people posting today about passing or taking the MPT. I'm jumping ahead to passing the MPTE because I think you did. I feel good about it. And you're looking to do what you want to do, where you want to do it, AURUSmedical.com, hashtag travel PT. All different settings, too. A lot of times people think travel physical therapy is just like outpatient ortho. That's a frequently asked question they get. It's not. All different settings. Really specific. Want to do women's health? You want to do it in Idaho? I don't know. Maybe you do. AURUSmedical.com. Travel PT is typically short-term assignments, but they do can turn into long-term assignments too. So use it as a, I say use it as a test drive around the country, wherever you want to go, and test drive some different locations you can work in. Again, AURUSmedical.com. All right, here we go. Three questions. First question is a where question. You said you are South Florida through and through, PT school, living there. But if you could go anywhere you want for 3 months and do your thing, where would you want to go in the U.S.?
In the U.S., listen, I'm the Goldilocks when it comes to climate. Can't be too hot. I'm photosensitive. Can't be too cold. Then I'll get rainouts. So who's perfect? San Francisco.
San Francisco. Have you been?
Yeah, I've been. They're just right. Sweater weather.
Carl the Fog. Yeah. San Francisco. Yeah. All right. So that's number one. Number two is a what question. What's something you've watched, listened to, or read that you think the audience could get some value out of? Movie, podcast, book, quote, whatever.
Watched, moved, or read. Well, I'm into short stories lately. And there's a book called Disability Visibility by Alex Wong. And that is amazing. So it's a short stories of lived experience of people with different disabilities, which just came out like a month or so ago.
I like it. We're going to put it on the list. We've got a list we've got on Amazon that we collect these answers from everybody we ask, and we make a big old list. We're smart.
There it is.
This helps build my old reading list. Third question I mentioned, we start and we end with people. Who is someone the audience should know more about?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they already know about me, so I can't say me.
Yeah, but who else? Could be one of your co-hosts.
Yeah, I'd say my co-hosts. All right. Mary Beth and Chloe, they're some bosses, man. They're
great. If you go to the website, just read those bios. Very interesting. DisabledGirlsWhoLift.com. That is three questions. You're off the hot seat from Arias Medical Staffing. Again, AURUSmedical.com. Leaders in Travel PT. Last thing we do on the show is your parting shot. Let's do it. All right, parting shot is brought to you by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. Leaders in Ortho PT. Find them online at orthopt.org. We're doing a contest right now. They've got all these courses online. 2 months ago, we gave away any access to any of their OCS prep course. I don't know where my brain went there. OCS prep course. Now we're giving away access. If you win, you get to pick. They've got like 20, 30 offerings. You get to pick. So find them out online, orthopt.org. So parting shot is your last chance, like your mic drop moment. What do you want to leave with the audience as we end the episode? Last thing, your last
mic drop. Yeah. Let's see. Well, to expand on, disability is not a bad word. Hire disabled people.
Hire disabled people.
We are your therapists, your yoga teachers, your fitness trainers, your everything.
I like that.
We should be everywhere.
Appreciate you stopping by. We'll make sure we share the socials one more time. JustMoveTherapy.com. That's your therapy page. DisabledGirlsWhoLift.com. That's the podcast, as well as Just Move Therapy on the Instagram and on the Twitter. Thanks so much for coming by. Let's make sure it's not the last time. Maybe next time we bring in the co-host, we do a big old group thing.
Sure. Why not? I'm always ready.
Appreciate you coming by. Okay. We'll talk again soon.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT.
Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love it.
I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.